The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
Another game where the Bucks continue to build on their strengths, and that is what we've seen from this group in the fourth quarter, and specifically in those clutch situations in the fourth quarter. That's where this Bucks team has been at their best this season. Coming into play today, the Bucks ranked sixth in defensive efficiency in those clutch situations. In other words, when the score is within 5 points, winning or losing, in the final 5 minutes of the game, the Bucks have been the sixth best defense. They've had the third best offensive efficiency, and they've had the best net rating in those games. They're now 7-2 in games with those clutch situations. Having Damian Lillard on your team goes a long way in taking you there. And Damian Lillard said that much to us on Friday night when he said, I think I've shown the value that I bring in these spots. We saw that once more today as the Bucks erase what was their largest second-half deficit to come back and win the game from 26 down to the Portland Trailblazers and win this game today by 6 points. 108-102, final score at Fiserv Forum. So the Bucks are now one of four teams in the NBA to have won seven games exactly, in those clutch situations. They are 7-2. The Los Angeles Lakers are 7-3. The Golden State Warriors, every single game they've played essentially has been a clutch game. They're 7-6, and the Dallas Mavericks are 7-1. That lone loss, by the way, against the Milwaukee Bucks. Their offense, the Bucks' offense, second best in the league in the clutch at 129.1 offensive rating. Their defense is second best at a 94.1, and they are the leaders in net rating at 35 points per 100 possessions, better than their opponent in those tight moments of the game. 5 points or fewer in the final 5 minutes of the game. That is a lot of the value. That demonstrates a lot of the value that Damian Lillard has brought to this team. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us today on Bucks Talk as we take your thoughts on another victory. 12-5 to start the season, and this group is still growing. We've heard that a number of times from Adrian Griffin saying, look, we're building something special. He talked after the game today and said, I think when we execute offensively, we're super elite, were the words that he chose and used to describe this group. Super elite. And when we execute offensively, I don't think there's another team out there that can match us. You go back to Wednesday, a disappointing loss to the Boston Celtics in a really lopsided series of late where Boston has had far more success against the Bucks than they've experienced failure. But you go back to those final 4 minutes of the game and how different this group is now versus the group the Celtics have seen in the Bucks the last couple of years, those clutch moments and how the Bucks could make that a game. Once again, in Boston on Wednesday night, you were down massively throughout the game, and yet you put yourself in a chance to nearly steal that game on the road in Boston. You do it again tonight. We mentioned it in the discussion with Malik Beasley after the game, too. Games like this, early in the season, when you're learning a new system on both sides of the ball, you're learning new terminology, you're doing things differently on both ends of the floor, offensively and defensively. And, oh, by the way, you're weaving in a pretty big piece in Damian Lillard. 40% of your starters are new as well. Games like this, to win like this, to be in these tight games and figure out a way to win, really galvanizes a group and expedites that growth and that chemistry building for this team. 855-616-1620, the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phones and kick things off with Will I Am. What's going on today, Will?
Hey, Justin. Wow, man. What a game. Hey, atmosphere was a roller coaster, but to see our team look like, you know, a hot mess to then come back on fire was pretty incredible, man. Again, I haven't questioned any of our coaching. We've talked about this. It's been a, you know, we need our bigger sample size. But when Dane gets to that fourth quarter, you know, when we have our sports car, which we talked about, getting hot right on the time we need him, getting those aggressive moves to the cup and to the line, you really can't beat that. And the one thing that I want to say about this comeback was, I think it all started either off the Jeremy Grant 720 miss on the rim, where the ball just rimmed and rimmed and rimmed. I think that was the moment where we knew we could come back, and then it led to that huge transition play by Giannis. I'm happy with what I'm looking at, man. I don't like the sluggish first half, but again, they picked up all the pieces. And what do you think, Chester, with that sluggish first half? To even just hang around and get it within, you know, 14 was great, I thought.
Yeah, and look, you unfortunately, well, not unfortunately, but there was a moment where you wondered, man, that missed dunk by Bobby Portis, is that gonna be the turning point where the Bucks were building something? You felt like here it comes, and that dunk doesn't go through. Portland comes down and scores 6 quick points. Before you know it, it's 15 again in about a minute of game time. But this team, and I mentioned this earlier, that, you know, Adrian Griffin has alluded to this a couple of times, and I think he made mention of it again today in the post game, that what has really impressed him with this group is the way that they respond. And one of the big messages that he's drilled home is, you know, things aren't always going to go your way, that you're going to have to deal with adversity, and things are going to be stacked against you at times. But it's how you respond to that. It's fine to get down for a possession or two plays, but you got to get yourself back into it, and you got to snap out of it, and you have to respond. And for the most part, he's seen this group do that. I think you could make a case, we didn't see a whole lot of it in the first half, that this team just seemed to be caught in quicksand, that one thing would go wrong, it would lead to another. Turnovers were a big part of it there, but you can't deny that's not what this group did. That's what this group did in the second half of this game today, is whenever those moments bubbled up after that sequence where the Blazers pushed it to 15, from that point forward, the Bucks instantly responded whenever they had a rare turnover or something didn't go their way.
They couldn't be stopped. And like you said, that ability to never give up. And my favorite part of the whole comeback was when he put in the rotation of the bench, where he put in Thomasis. He gave AJ Green the opportunity to get on the court, really mixed it up to allow, you know, even a minute for those starters to get out, or 4 minutes or 3 minutes. That stretch boosted our team. Say, hey, we got this. We're the Milwaukee Bucks. Let's get a win on this nice matinee Sunday, you know?
Yeah, look, I'm with you, and thanks for the call again, Will. I'm with you. I like what I've seen so far and how this team just keeps building things. I mean, you can point to what are the signature. I know that was going around a week or so ago of, well, what are the Bucks' signature wins this season? It's late November. The season's a month old. What are any team's signature wins? You can say it was a disappointing loss to the Celtics. Opening night against the Sixers was a nice signature win. The game against the New York Knicks, the way they pulled together, and that was the first game that really helped spark this change where they switched things up again defensively, that was a nice win as well. They've had a lot of these nice wins. And you think back to, what, 2-3 years ago, when a lot of what we were talking about was the fact that, yeah, this team, they were blowing teams out and they weren't playing all that well in the clutch. It took some time, and it wasn't until later in the year, 2 years ago, that you got more of a sample size of those clutch games, because they were either blown out or they were blowing teams out. And it's not as though this is an exact simulation of a playoff game. But when you get into these scenarios, it is helpful to lean on that when you get into those moments in the postseason. I would rather be a team that has gone through those moments in the regular season and figured out, what do we have to do? How do we learn from this? What do we do when this happens? How do we pivot from here? How do we grow? And how do we win these games? And I think that's what you've seen for the first month of the season, is the Bucks have come together and figured out how to win games. I'm not saying it's all Damian Lillard, But that's the biggest difference with this team is they have Damian Lillard, and they have been an elite clutch team so far this season. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on Bucks Talk. So, again, Bucks have been the best team in the clutch. Second best offense, second best defense, and the best net rating in those clutch games so far this season. Damian Lillard is not the only reason behind that, but he is a big part of that reason. We'll take a look at what he has done in those moments of games after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
.102 final score as the Bucks hold off the Portland Trailblazers down the stretch and come back from a 26-point second-half deficit, their largest second-half comeback in team history. And when you hear that music, you can't help but think of the shocking return that we saw last night. We saw a shocking return today at Fiserv Forum as well as... coincidentally, you did not see attention called to this on the scoreboard throughout the game, but Craig Counsell was here sitting courtside for the game, returning from having stabbed the Brewers in the back, depending on who you ask, and taken in the game with Milwaukee fans. And what a classic one that Craig Counsell got a chance to see today. 855-616-1620. The number to join us this afternoon, or this evening, I should say. It's already past 6 o'clock. These early tips, these matinee games, just do things with your mind. But 855-616-1620, the number to join us on Bucks Talk. Mention how good the Bucks have been in the clutch so far this season. And look, it's a small sample size, sure. But that number of games played is all of a sudden up to 17. And I point that out because... really, once you get to 25, 30 games is when you have more of a grasp on the season. Not so much where things are going to be and not anything definitively, but you at least feel like, okay, I've seen enough trends here. There's enough samples to pull from that you can really start to get a better feel of the Bucks or whatever team it is you're examining and the league as a whole. And we're getting close to that. 17 games in now for the Bucks and a number of teams in the Eastern Conference, especially including the Miami Heat, who the Bucks will play again, or will play next, I should say, on Tuesday. Play again, too. They played them earlier at home this season. But with that said, individual play in the clutch. These numbers are not the be-all, end-all. And you'll see a lot of the Clutch Player of the Year Award. We've had it once that was given out. You base it a lot off of what do they do in these clutch situations. So in other words, when the game is within 5 points, if you're up or down by 5 points or fewer in the final 5 minutes of the game, at any moment that that occurs, that becomes a clutch situation. The Bucks again, have been arguably the best team in those spots this season. 7-2. Second best offense in those moments, second best defense, and the best net rating. Damian Lillard has been the best player in the clutch in terms of what he has done offensively. He is a plus 37 in those games. That is the best in the league so far. Plus 37 in those moments he's on the floor when it is a clutch game. The Bucks are 7-1 in those games that Damian Lillard has played in. Brook Lopez, by the way, has the second best performance in the clutch in terms of the plus minus. He's plus 30, and Malik Beasley is fourth on that list at plus 29. Giannis is a plus 24. Pat Connaughton is in the top 10 as well. So the Bucks have done really well as a team. They have a number of players that are showing up there in the top of the plus minus in clutch. But where Damian Lillard has really excelled is his scoring. And it's not just Dame time, as we've heard and all got familiar with while he was in Portland. We were excited to see it this season in Milwaukee. It's not just Damian Lillard canning deep three-pointers or the drives to the basket that we've seen in bulk so far this season. It's his ability to make himself available for free throws, to get to the ball for the inbounds pass, get to the line and knock those down. It's all of it. It's all components of Damian Lillard's game, especially in the clutch, and that is one big thing, not even big, gigantic thing that this Bucks team had been missing for the last 5 years, even in spite, despite winning a championship in 2021. They did that with a very, very poor offense in the half court. They were an elite group defensively. Their offense was just good enough. As we've talked about, it's going to be the inverse this year. You expect the offense is going to be elite, and it's still a work in progress. It is still getting there, but it continues to show signs of improvement. The offense is what you figure to be elite. The defense, you hope, can get to just good enough. If you're in that 12 to 15 range, hey, if you could somehow get up to 10, perfect. But as long as that defense is there, somewhere around the middle of the pack and just good enough, the feeling is your offense can take you there. And not only that, I think anybody that you talk to around the league will tell you it's not easy. But if you told me which of the two is easier to get better and improve in the postseason, I think most would tell you, if you have an okay defense, we think with time you can make it better than average. And especially in the postseason, you can do some things, you can make it better than average. If you have a better than average defense, we think you can get it up to good. And vice versa. Good, you can get to pretty good, right? Offense is tougher to do because it comes down to shot making. You need those guys that can create the space, that can make those shots. Not just take tough shots, but make them. Defense, a lot of it is effort. A lot of it is repetition. Is having that institutional knowledge of when this happens, we do this. Leaning on some of those previous matchups. It's skill as well. But offense is almost entirely skill. You need that. And that's where the Bucks were looking when they said, what do we have to do differently and why you landed on Damian Lillard? He has that skill. And he has that skill in those moments when you need it most. We've already seen it, six times this season when he scored double figures in the fourth quarter alone. And when we look in the clutch, Damian Lillard, as I mentioned, plus 37 in those games, best in the NBA. He has scored 56 points in those clutch moments of games played this season. 56 is the most any player has scored in the clutch so far. LeBron James and Mikal Bridges are second. They each have 45. Trae Young has 44. Steph Curry has 43. No other player has 40 or more. Damian Lillard has 56. That is what he has brought to this team this season, and that's a big reason why this Bucks team has been so good in those games where it's tight, and it is up for grabs in the final 5 minutes of the game. 855-616-1620, the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. When we come back, I'll take another look at how this team has continued to show signs of progress, where their ratings are now, starting with that game against the New York Knicks on November 3rd. So it has now been 13 games that we're pulling from in this sample size. We'll take a look at how the Bucks have shown growth there. And we've mentioned it quite a bit, but final group play game of the in-season tournament on Tuesday. So everything that is at stake for the Bucks, will go through those scenarios once more after this on Bucks Talk.
You're listening to Bucks Talk.
.108-102, our final score here at Fiserv Forum. It's the Bucks knocking off the Portland Trail Blazers, and they come back from the largest second half deficit in franchise history. Their largest comeback, I should say, from a second half deficit in franchise history, erasing a 26-point third quarter margin to beat the Portland Trail Blazers today at Fiserv Forum and improve to 12-5. On the season. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on Bucks Talk tonight. Let's head to Wauwatosa and talk with Q. You're up next.
Hey, I was at the game tonight. Great show, as always, here. I feel like this fan base cannot handle Dr. Griffin and his lineups. There was boos in the third quarter tonight. What do you think about the limited minutes that Griff is using with Giannis and Dame together? And do you think there's a chance we'll get some more playoff-style basketball on Tuesday against Miami? Do you think Griff will take the first three quarters a little more seriously?
Well, what do you mean seriously, in that just the minutes that we've seen Dame and Giannis together?
Yeah, I mean, just playing Thanasis in the first half today, it just seems like he just kind of throws things at the wall for the first three quarters and then decides to take it into a different gear in the fourth quarter. And to me, it just seems like I expect nothing from the first three quarters, and then it doesn't matter what the deficit is come the fourth quarter. Like, we can come back from anything.
So it's a good question. Thanks for the call. I didn't have a problem with the Thanasis minutes because, number one, it came at a time when really nothing was going right for the Bucks, and I know the margin wasn't into the 20s at that point, but we kind of talked about it before that you wondered what the emotions would be like for this game coming in. It was Damian Lillard's first game against his former team, the only team he had ever played for in his career. And it was at home versus going back to Portland, which I'm sure will bring with it even more emotions when that game comes up at the end of January. But you wonder what that would be like. And Chauncey Billups before the game talked about how, you know, I don't know if it'll be that big of a deal because Dame does a really good job of compartmentalizing things, and that was one of the things that he and I really related on. And also, there's a lot of guys that are gone that Damian Lillard played with. You know, when you look at this current group for the Portland Trail Blazers, he played with Jeremy Grant. He played with Shaedon Sharpe a little bit. Anfernee Simons didn't play in this game. He didn't play with DeAndre Ayton as a teammate. So most of those guys had moved on in other trades or just through other avenues. That kind of took away a little bit from it as well. But you still wonder, what is this going to be like? And it was a back-and-forth game for a lot of the first half of the first quarter, and I think we were all kind of waiting for the Bucks to start to separate themselves, and it just never happened. It was Portland that started to separate themselves, and the Blazers started to build up that lead and just never relinquished it. So for me, Adrian Griffin, I think, looked at that and saw, like, there's not a whole lot of energy that's out here right now. I know other people have kind of kicked around, man, matinee games and the Bucks. Name a worse duo. That has certainly plagued them through the years. They're not the only team that gets off to slower starts, although slow starts have also been an issue for the Bucks, where they're playing the first quarter. But to me, Adrian Griffin just looked at it like, we need energy, and we need somebody that's going to get out there and give us that spark. So he went to Thanasis. When you look at the way minutes have been distributed elsewhere, you know, we didn't see Andre Jackson Jr. a couple of games ago, and Griff's reasoning for that after the game was basically, you know, I don't want to lose guys, I think is what you take reading between the lines. Like, I want everybody invested. I want everybody ready to go, ready when called upon, that I don't want guys to get to the point where it's just, well, I'm not going to play, so who cares? And I'm not saying anybody on this group had that mindset, but I think what Griff is doing with the way he distributes the minutes is avoiding that. When he said, like, I wanted to reward A.J. Green for the way he played, and we only have so many minutes, even with the injury to Jay Crowder, that it had to be Andre that I took some of those away from. But we've continued to see Andre Jackson Jr. get a lot of those opportunities. He started once again today. Marjon Beauchamp didn't play a whole lot either. That you're just going to have those games in the regular season, and that's what it's for, where you're rewarding other guys and you're finding your spots to reward them too. It's not like you're just saying, okay, you'll play the last 5 minutes of the game. Like, we want to reward you for what you did in the previous game, and we want to get you out there in actual live reps, not just garbage time. And I think Griff has done a good job of doing that. The whole Giannis and Dame playing together as well, I don't have the number of possessions or minutes that they've been on the floor together after today in front of me. But it is something that has continued to grow, and a big part of that is what we've seen, the switch of Dame playing all of the first and all of the third quarters. We've seen Giannis stay on the floor a little bit longer, especially in the third quarter in those stretches. But look, it's also important to stagger those guys. I understand you want to play them together as much as possible, and you want to maximize those minutes, but it's also important to stagger them and figure out what is our identity in those moments that it's Giannis. And, you know, maybe, I know that wasn't the case today, but maybe Chris Middleton and who else? When you figure out how are we going to stagger some of these lineups, who fits best with who, it's important to get some of those reps where they're not on the floor together. And it's important to get some of those reps where you can figure out what does our two-man game look like when there's no Giannis, when it's Brooke Lopez setting screens, or maybe it's Bobby Portis and Dame Lillard doing that. So I think Adrian Griffin overall has done a good job of pushing the right buttons. The whole will we see playoff basketball on Tuesday, I think he will. I don't think that has to do with the rotations. I think it's with the intensity that you'll see in that game, because I think by and large we have seen teams approach this as if, I'm not going to say playoff, but approach these games as if there's something more than a regular season game. We heard Adrian Griffin after that game against the Charlotte Hornets say, yeah, we had point differential on our mind. We were trying to increase our point differential. I told that to Steve Clifford. We saw, I know outside of the Bucks group, but on Friday night, you saw a handful of those games that were treated the same way, where you had teams trying to increase the amount of points that they score. The Phoenix Suns did it, knowing the New Orleans Pelicans as well, knowing, hey, we're still in play for one of those wild card seeds. We want to increase this. And I think knowing what the stakes are on Tuesday night, that it is the finish line. If we, being the Bucks, win this game, we advance. Miami Heat, no. If we win this game, there's a decent chance that we advance, or at least we put ourselves in that spot. I think that's going to increase it. And the fact that it's the Miami Heat and this rivalry that the Bucks have built up with them the last 5-plus years is going to add to that as well. 855-616-1620, number to join us today on Bucks Talk. A couple of more calls to get to. We will do that after this as we take your thoughts on a 6-point win, another big comeback for the Bucks. 26-point hole they crawl out of in the second half to knock off the Trailblazers. More after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
.108 to .102, our final score here as the Bucks knock off the Portland Trail Blazers and improve to 12-5 on the season. Let's head back to the phone lines and talk with Tom in Wauwatosa. You're up next.
Yeah, hello. Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, okay. About, and I was at the game this afternoon, and I honestly thought this would just be really bad if they lost, because Portland has, what, 2 or 3 wins so far this year? And it was a great comeback, but I remember back in 77, around Thanksgiving time, when they were down going into the fourth quarter to the Atlanta Hawks by 29, and Marcus Johnson ended up winning the game with 2 free throws at the end. So you might want to check into that. I could be dreaming. But,
yeah, I think you're dreaming it, Tom, because it's been verified by the team as well that 26 is their largest second-half comeback ever. 27 is their most ever.
27? Okay. Okay, so, yeah, well, I apologize for that then. But, yeah, they were down at that time. And, yeah, maybe it was one of those games that I gave up on, I guess, and woke up the next morning and found out that they won. So I stand corrected.
What did you think about today?
Today? Oh, I was frustrated watching the whole thing. I was there, and I was frustrated watching it. And I thought if they could cut the deficit in half from what it was at halftime, you know, from what it was when they were down 25, and get it down to 12 or so, I thought they'd have a chance. And then, you know, when there was 3 minutes left, I thought that they could probably pull it off. You know, you're still afraid that they're going to screw something up. But I thought that they played hard. But for some reason, I mean, they just couldn't pick up loose balls. They looked like they were hustling out there. Lillard looked tight at the beginning of the game, I thought. And, you know, obviously he came through at the end in the clutch. But, yeah, I'd rather be able to go to a game or even watch it on TV and actually see a comfortable win.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Tom. Thanks for the call. A certainly impressive win today, and it brought a lot of frustration, as I'm sure, as Tom mentioned, when you looked at the record for the Blazers. You knew what this Blazers team was going through as well in their rebuild after trading away Damian Lillard, not just this year, but the last couple of years, what they've gone through with their personnel. It's been an interesting go of things, so I'm sure a lot of Bucks fans saw this one and said, this should be an easy win, and this should be maybe a big game from Damian Lillard going against his former team as well. But you got what you hoped for in the final, really, 20 minutes of this game as they erased that 26-point deficit for the victory. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on Bucks Talk. Take another break here. When we come back, we will share some numbers of how this team has continued to show some growth ever since that defense got to do more of what they've done for the last 5 years. An update on where the Bucks currently sit since November 3rd. Next on Bucks Talk. Bucks made winning plays down the stretch, and they come back from down 26 in the third quarter to beat the Portland Trail Blazers today at Fiserv Forum. 108-102, our final score. Damian Lillard goes off for 31. Giannis scores 33. And we'll mention again, Giannis moves past Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for the most games in team history with 30 or more points, 10 or more rebounds, and 5 or more assists. Giannis has done that 107 times, moving past the 106. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar did it as a member of the Milwaukee Bucks. One other thing to point out here is, since November 3rd, and we keep mentioning that date because that was after the first four games of the season when the high was opening night, and what you saw from Damian Lillard in that win against the Philadelphia 76ers and your first glimpse at Dame time in a Bucks jersey, what that means. There were some lows. The basically wire-to-wire blowout against the Atlanta Hawks. The same happened in Toronto against the Raptors. And you had a win against the Miami Heat where you saw Damian Lillard take over down the stretch once more, but there was a lot of things you could nitpick from that game. So overall, the sentiment after those four games, and again, that's an extremely small sample size, but it hasn't stopped most of us from jumping to conclusions off of that before. The main takeaway was, I don't know, this defense may be worse than I anticipated. We all knew it was going to take a step backward with no Jrue Holiday and no Wesley Matthews either. That's another name you do need to point out in the value that Wesley Matthews brought this team on the defensive end of the floor. So we knew the defense would take a step backward, but I think overall the thought was, wow, is it going to be worse than I imagined? And a lot of that was this new system that you were implementing and learning, pressuring on the perimeter, trying to up the steals and create some turnovers, get some transition opportunities through that. That type of change is going to take time. It is such a radical difference from how this defense had operated for the past 5 years, where a lot of this group was the same and did those things for 5 years. It's going to take time to get there. But Adrian Griffin listened to his players, who said, look, we got to play Brooke Lopez closer to the basket. Not only because that's where he's more comfortable and certainly where he is more useful and effective, but what it does for our confidence and our comfort in knowing that we have this guy who may well be the best rim protector in the league. Led the league in block shots a season ago. He is currently your leader this year as well. And all of that after just two block shots, through his first four games of the season. But the value of having Brooke there closer to the basket, what it does for him, what it does for our defense, we got to find a way to go back to that, is what the players urged Adrian Griffin, and he listened. And you've seen that turnaround since then. Where, again, I think all you ask for is for the defense to be average in terms of the metrics, where they rank, defensive ratings, your net rating, all that, or defensive rating, I should say. Can we just be average, or a little better than league average, somewhere in that 12 to 15 range? I'm here to tell you that's what this defense has been since November 3rd when that change was made, starting with that game against the New York Knicks. when Brooke Lopez returned to not necessarily the drop position, but closer to the rim, and blocked 8 shots in that game. From that moment on, the Bucks right now have gone 10-3 in those 13 games played. Their 10 wins is the most in the NBA since that date on the calendar. The Miami Heat and Minnesota Timberwolves have each won 9 games. Boston Celtics are 8-4. 76ers are 8-4. The Bucks are 10-3. Their offensive rating looks a lot like what you would expect. They have the 5th best offense in the league, dating back to November 3rd. An offensive rating of 119.4. They are less than 1 point per 100 possessions behind the Phoenix Suns, who are the 4th best offense. They're about 2 points away from the Oklahoma City Thunder and Atlanta Hawks, who are 3-2. The Indiana Pacers may run away and hide with offensive efficiency this season. They're 127.2. That's the best in the league. Defensively, the Bucks are currently 13th since November 3rd. A 113.8 defensive rating. That is right up there with the Denver Nuggets, with the Memphis Grizzlies, with the New Orleans Pelicans. In other words, the Bucks right now are less than a point per 100 possessions away from being a top 10 defense in those games played. And your net rating is 7. 5.6, not what we've seen the last few years. You would expect that number to be closer to a 7, 8. You'd love higher than that. But a 5.6 net rating. And again, what, 0.2 of a point per 100 possessions away from being in the top 5, which belongs to the Minnesota Timberwolves at 5.8. So I point all of these numbers out to say, what did we say a couple of minutes ago? This offense should be elite if your defense can just be okay. A defense can keep us in games. Our offense will win us those games. These numbers, since those changes were made, and now again it's 13 games, so it's not like we're pointing and clinging to 6 or 7 games and saying, hey, we're almost to double figures. It's 13 games. These numbers are showing you this is an elite offense. It's a defense that's doing enough to keep you in a position to win. And that net rating is basically in the top 5 as well, which would be elite in terms of your rating or your ranking. Maybe not so much the overall number, but it leads you to the upper echelon of the NBA. And all of that has started to turn around for the Bucks. So that, to me, is the big takeaway that we continue to have from what we've seen now this month of November, basically, and what we're looking at. Tuesday night, it's the Bucks in Miami to take on the Heat. It is your final group play game in the in-season tournament. There are a number of scenarios in play. The Bucks can lose that game and still represent Group B, win Group B. If you lose, you also need the New York Knicks to win. That would set up a 3-way tie between the Bucks, the Knicks, and the Miami Heat. And the Bucks, as long as you're not blown out, would likely win by way of point differential. If you win, there's no help needed. You would finish 4-0 in advance of the knockout stage and be that top seed as well with the best point differential in the Eastern Conference. Tuesday night, 6:30, tip from Miami. 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. My thanks, everybody, for tuning in today. And Evan Witalison for producing the show. Talk to you Tuesday night with more Bucks Talk.